watched by JB. Ryan tucked Jack's satin finish Colt Python into his own belt.
Didn't expect to find them unguarded. Getting sloppy.
Sounds like Sheriff's losing it.
Ryan glanced around.
When things start unfolding, they can run away like a wag with no brakes.
How true is the saying that the center does not hold?
Yeah.
Ryan rubbed a finger down his stubbled chin.
Let's go see about springing Jack.
Emma stumbled along like someone in a drugged waking dream. She was vaguely aware from the acrid smell that Sean Sharp had dragged her with him into the first part of his Muti collection. The door to the rest of the ville was closed, though Emma registered that the Baron hadn't bothered to lock it. Once they were alone together in the relative stillness, Sharp seemed to become a little more calm.
There, now we can listen to the whispering voices, my own little Doomy. We can find you a cage. Crude, I know, but it'll have to do for a while. We can add comforts as you tell me more of your secrets.
Emma was feeling sick. The rooms with their cages and display cases seemed to spin around her. Sharp stopped in front of the large sheet of plate glass that contained the sandy waste with the mysterious creature lying hidden within it, deep in the dry barren earth. The overhead lamps turned the glass into a kind of mirror, reflecting the tall figure of the Baron in his snowy robe, holding on to the black-clad woman, her face as white as parchment under the stark lighting. Sharp pressed his face against the cold glass. The surface of the pale sand rippled for a moment, so quickly that you could almost think that you'd imagined it.
Little Rupert?
This was my favorite pet. Ah, yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was.
Once again, the sand trembled, but there was nothing to be seen.
Death.
Let's go on, shall we, Doomy? Yes, we shall. Shall go on, all the way to the end.
Along there.
Doc gripped the huge Lama in his right hand, his walking stick in the other.
I can hear the guards talking.
Ryan and JB were three quarters of the way up the rear set of stairs that led to the third floor room where Jack was being held prisoner. JB crawled up to the top and squinted around, returning to Ryan and Doc.
Four of them, holding pistols. They seem kind of alert.
No way of making this quiet. Fire blast. Well, we might as well go in and open up. Have to let them know we're loose and running sometime. Everybody ready? Let's do it.
What was that?
The distant chaos brought Mildred, Christy, and Dean to their feet.
That was the Uzi! And I think it was Dad's Sig Sauer! Sounded like they're in there and giving them some double hot tar!
Mildred peered out from the bushes toward the ville.
On the top floor.
Can't we try and find a way in, Christy, please? Could be they need help!
Yeah, Dean, maybe they do. But the doors are going to be bolted and guarded. I know it's not what you want, but we still do what Ryan told us to do.
Wait and watch!
Dean sullenly kicked out at a loose pebble.
Who was that?
Nothing else. It must be over.
It wasn't much of a firefight, closer to a massacre. As Ryan and JB looked down at the charnel house scene of writhing corpses and puddled crimson and splintered bones, Doc lumbered up behind them.
Oh, upon my soul, I have my trusty Lama primed and ready and find that the skirmish is over and done.
Open the door for Jack. The key's already in the lock there.
One of the Sekhmen was still alive, trying to get up on his hands and knees, carrying three bullet wounds. Ryan leveled the Sig Sauer at the base of his skull.
That's it.
Likely to bring us some company. Looks like a staircase along the end there. Should bring us down somewhere close to the entrance to the Baron's Zoo.
Doc fumbled with the key before he worked out that it was quicker to holster the Lama and lay the sword stick on the carpet, away from the spreading pool of blood. As soon as it swung back, Jack was in the doorway, his hair tumbling about his shoulders like the spray from a winter fountain. His red eyes turned to Ryan, ignoring the tangled pile of corpses that lay at his feet.
Where's Emma? And to Baron?
It seems that he's taken it down to his collection, Jack. Anything happened we should know about?
She saw her own death, drowning in a scarlet sea. Before she went down to see Sharp, she told me she saw his death. His tongue turned silver, and a broke mirror, and vanished in the desert.
Ryan shook his head.
Run that past me again, Jack.
I didn't...
No time.
Wait, I got your colt here.
See you in the zoo.
Doc stooped to pick up his sword stick.
Yeah, should we not follow the young fellow?
Yeah, Doc, we will. Right now.
In his anxiety, Jack took a wrong turn at the bottom of the first flight of stairs, going to the left instead of right, finding himself in a series of abandoned rooms. There was no sign of stairs down to the first floor that would have brought him closer to the Mudi collection and to the Baron and Emma.
Shit!
There was no sign of life in any of the rooms, except for the last of them. Jack threw open a tall door, sending it crashing back onto its hinges. The movement sent up a cloud of fine gray dust. The room was much bigger than the others, with a high vaulted roof in black and white. It was filled with dozens of wooden carvings, all brightly painted, looking like parts of roots or branches that had been cut and polished, and then covered in layers of startling colors. A hammock was suspended between two of the taller sculptures, and the noise of Jack's entrance woke the occupant, an unbelievably ancient man in filthy clothes, with a ragged beard and a mane of long, matted hair.
In the name of the imps of Beelzebub, are you?
How do I get to ground into Baron Zoo?
Venomous little eyes focused on Jack.
You're a poxy, muty runt!
Jack suddenly noticed a narrow iron staircase that spiraled down from the far corner of the room. Without any hesitation, he ran through the room, leaving footprints in the dust, past the hammock, to the top of the stairs.
You've not seen my collection, you snowtop bastard! First visitor in a year or more, and you don't wait to... Oh, fuck it.
Jack raced around the dizzying staircase, emerging through a door at the bottom, to find himself behind a huge, moth-eaten tapestry. The light was poor, but Jack's night sight was preternaturally sharp, and he could see that the wall hanging showed a handsome youth swooning away as he was attacked by a pack of hunting dogs, while an elegant woman with a bow looked down at his distress with an expression of vicious sensuality. Jack cautiously looked around the corner of the tapestry, seeing that he was in a wide passage with torches flickering in all sconces. He recognized it from his previous visit to the Mudi collection, knowing that only one door now separated him from Emma and the Baron.
Et toi?
Ryan led Doc and JB back down the flight of stairs that had brought them up to the third floor of the mansion. He turned to his right and headed for the main stairs that would bring them to the first floor and give them access to the part of the vill that housed the Mudi collection. A tall, plump Sekhman appeared at the far end of the corridor. Hastily pulling on his green jacket, he quickly spotted the three outlanders moving fast toward him. He immediately bolted back around the corner like a startled rabbit. There wasn't much time for a clear shot at him, but there was no longer any point in killing anyone they didn't have to. There was nobody around the stairs to the dining room, and Ryan paused a moment, halfway down, the short hairs prickling at his nape.
We got someone.
Suddenly, a musket ball thudded into the rounded oak balustrade, 8 inches from Ryan's left hand, stripping away a long splinter of white wood. Ryan spun, seeing the giveaway cloud of black powder smoke hanging in the air, a yard from the top of the wide staircase. His Sig Sauer was already drawn. As Ryan turned back, moving toward the dining room, Joaquin appeared by the door that led through to the rear of the vill.
Far enough, Outlander.
He was holding a machine pistol in his right hand and had two men with him, both armed with the old cap-and-ball revolvers. Ryan paused on the bottom step. JB was just behind him, Doc about halfway down. The torchlight shone on the Sec Chief's grizzled hair.
Feels tighter than a duck's ass, Carter. You got nowhere to go from here. Men above you, doors secure.
We got in.
Joaquin nodded. He was tense, every nerve strained and alert.
I'd like to know how. My guess is around back, but there hasn't been time to check it. Also, Sharpie told us to keep out of his zoo. He's in there with a doomy slut.
He smiled mirthlessly at them.
Guess he's real busy and don't want no onlookers right now.
You gonna face this one down, Joaquin? 3 against 3, but we got the better blasters.
Stuck halfway up the stairs. Doesn't leave you room to jump, does it? And it ain't 3 against 3. There's half a dozen more in the hallway above you. More scattered around the vill. They don't like the fact that Josh Morgan got butchered. We know you did that, old man. Be a reckoning soon.
I had no wish to take his life, but he would not accede to reason.
Reasons aren't worth Puma shit in a thunderstorm.